Napa know-how.
Napa guy knows not to judge a man by his car's multicolored paint job or absence of modern gadgetry. Who cares if it's technically old enough to vote and the windows are powered by the strength of your left arm? Your monthly payment is zero, and it'll stay that way. Because with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep anything on the road. She may not be pretty, but she's all yours. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Court is now in session.
Damn.
This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Thursday, February 23rd, 2017. The All-Star break is officially over. The judge is back. We have a glorious six-game slate on tap for Thursday. The judge was not going to do a show for Thursday because we do have the trade deadline coming up at 3 p.m. Eastern. And all it takes is one trade to blow up this entire slate and make about 90% of the things that I would say on the show moot. So I was going to have Friday, tomorrow, be the glorious return of the judge. But already the tweets are coming in, the emails, the demand for the judge seems to be growing. I didn't want to let you guys down. So currently, normally I'm doing the show, as you guys know, 3, 4 a.m. in the morning. Today it's 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time in New York, and I'll be going to the office late today. So hopefully my bosses will not find out I'm doing this show. No, they will. Because I said I'm going to come in late to the office today because the judge shall come through and so give you a show. But the show, I'm going to try to keep the show somewhat short today. I'm going to try to limit it to like 45 minutes to an hour. Just because I am really weary of the trade deadline. I've had it happen to me in years past where a couple trades happen and then the slate, as you guys know, I mean, it's similar to injury news. I mean, a couple injuries happen at whatever time during the course of the day and the entire slate changes. And so today's it's going to be a really fluid situation and you have to be ready to pivot off of guys and ready to be make decisions. You know, and if a lot of stuff I say, if I'm on a player like Darren Collison, obviously he gets traded today, or Reggie Jackson or Ish Smith, you know, obviously adjust accordingly. But the judge is here. The judge comes through. It's good to be back. I missed you guys. It was nice to get some sleep for a week, but I'm not going to lie. I did miss you, and more importantly, I missed NBA action. So I'm very excited for that to be back. Hopefully you listened to my show over the past week. I did a show with Chris Axman regarding NASA scientist Rick Carlisle and the Dallas Mavs, which hopefully should shed some light on the way Carlisle runs his wacky rotations and wacky system. It's a good podcast. I recommend you guys go listen to it if you want. Chris, you know, basically is from the Dallas area, so he's pretty much an expert on the Mavs. So that was a good podcast. Hopefully you listened to that. You enjoyed that. It was all annoying because a couple days ago I taped a really good podcast after the Boogie trade with Vince Miracle, who covers the Sacramento Kings for SacKingsNation.com and the Kings Court podcast on the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. Unfortunately, because IT and computers hate the judge, there was really bad audio during it via Google Hangouts. So, well, I think I may have even tweeted out that I'm having Vince on the show. Unfortunately, the audio was so bad we couldn't post that video. I was trying to salvage some of it, but it just wasn't feasible. But if you do have Sacramento Kings questions, which we're all going to, let's face it, for the rest of the year, Vince Miracle, and I don't remember his Twitter handle off right now, but it's easy to find. If you search Vince Miracle, it's going to come up via Twitter. I almost guarantee it. So I would recommend you guys follow him. Also want to give him a shout out just for joining the pod, even though we couldn't post it because it really did suck. He shed some really good light on what we think Sacramento is going to do going forward, you know, with these last 25 games now without Boogie. And maybe at some point he'll be nice enough to join me again for another pod if I'm polite enough to ask. Also, as you guys know, before we get into the meat of the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. Let's get back into and dominate the iTunes rankings or the Stitcher rankings. Does Stitcher have a rankings? I know iTunes have a rankings. Stitcher must have a rankings, right? I don't know. It's a good question. Also, when I do tweet out the show, as you guys know, we're trying to grow the show, expand the listener base. So if you could, I know, trust me, guys, I know how easy it is to hit that like button. But hit the RT button, retweet the episode when I do post it. Little things like that can make all the difference in the world when you're trying to grow a show like this and compete against shows like Roto Trash. Which, by the way, I'm already in a really bad mood because I made the stupid mistake of clicking on a different site show where they had some NASCAR guy giving you NBA advice, and I was taking my gavel and I'm just beating my head with the gavel, and I'm like, what is this guy talking about? Unbelievable. Just NASCAR guys talking NBA. There's nothing that should not, if I was in charge of this great land, I would make a rule. Rule number one, law number one. You can't, if you're a NASCAR guy, you can't talk NBA anyway. Not that I don't mind NASCAR, but it was just interesting. Anyway, also make you guys aware, there is a new website that we've been working on, man, for the past few months. It's not fully done yet. I'm hoping to unleash that and unveil that in the next couple days. So I will keep you guys posted on that. And yeah, so for today's show, I'm going to try to keep it relatively short because I was not planning on doing a show because of the trade deadline. Tomorrow I wanted to be a big glorious show for you where I could go over all the trades and give you all the rundown of the DFS impact of all those trades. So today we'll do just a little of that from a couple of the trades that we've already had from over All-Star break. And then we'll hop into the slate and hope that the trade deadline doesn't kill everything I say. All right, so speaking of Chambers, as you guys know, or maybe you don't know, if you're new to the show, well, welcome. It is good to have you. But I run a tournament called the Judge of Chambers on FanDuel, on DraftKings, on the lovely sponsor Draft as well. So on FanDuel, we usually run three tournaments, 20 people each. On DraftKings, it's usually one tournament, 50 spots. I already tweeted out the link to DraftKings, so I didn't even check. I think the last time I looked, it was already half full, and that was like 2-3 in the morning because I posted the link super late last night. Chambers, though, is basically just some of the best players in all of DFS. We all compete against each other, and then I compile a power rankings. And then every Friday or Monday, we have a best of the best tournament, which basically the people at the top of the power rankings get a special invitation from the judge. And yeah, so it's just good times. And if you've been listening to me for a while and you haven't played Chambers yet, guys, it is time. Now there's only like 25, 30 games left in the NBA regular season. So let's take advantage of your training. Let's see how good you are. If the demand is pretty high for especially the one on FanDuel. So if you have trouble getting in, because normally I just tweet out the links, just send me a tweet at DanielAGreen1. You can email me. Although I guess right now you can email me via the website dgcourtroomdfs.com. Although the new website is just going to be dgcourtroom.com. So it's going to be no DFS on that. But I guess for right now, if you still want to email me via dgcourtroomdfs.com, you can do that as well. And I will do my very best to make sure you get a spot in Chambers. All right, let's hop into a couple of the trades that did take place over All-Star break. Now, obviously, the big one was the Boogie one. So Sacramento dealt Boogie in a weird, bizarre, only Sacramento way to New Orleans. And what did they receive? Well, they got a big bounty full of treasures, right? They got, let's see, Buddy Hield. I mean, wow, you can't miss a Buddy Hield. Tyreek Evans, glorious. He was fantastic for them. But people forget how good, in all seriousness, Tyreek was when he was Rookie of the Year for Sacramento. Now, granted, ever since then, he's been pretty horrendous. But they got back Tyreek. They got Langston Gangston Galloway, which is ironically, that's like the main person who was stealing Buddy Heald's minutes for the Pelicans. Like, Buddy Hield couldn't get 24 minutes a game for the Pelicans, and he couldn't finish games for the Pelicans because Galloway would always get hot and steal his minutes. So that was ironic. I thought that Sacramento's taking both Buddy Hield and Galloway. They also got a first round pick, but it's protected. So it's not even going to be that great of a pick probably. and they got a 2017 second round pick. So basically, the Kings got all crap in return. It was not a bountiful treasure. They got duds for the most part. Hopefully the first round pick can be something, but Buddy Hield, there's been nothing that I've seen on the court this year that would make me think he's going to be even close to an all-star caliber player. And can he even be like a legitimate starting shooting guard in the NBA? I don't know. I mean, maybe. Could he be like a nice rotation piece? Probably, because he's a decent shooter. But I don't know. For Kings fans, I hope that Buddy Hield can come and be something for you guys. But I just haven't seen it yet. And I think Tyreek, he's too banged up. And, first of all, that's not a guy you want being your first, second, third best player anyway. But the thing I'll say about this, and this is where you separate, as I've said many times on many shows, the real world versus DFS. And in DFS, a lot of these guys are going to be in play. I mean, I already looked at like the projected some of the projections for this slate on Thursday, and it had like four or five Kings at the top of every projections, or for at least two sites that I looked at. It had guys like Collison, even Ty Lawson, Buddy Hield, even stupid Ben McLemore, Aflalo, Tolliver, Kufis, Cauley-Stein. I mean, all these guys are probably going to get decent minutes, and they're all right now dirt cheap, except Collison on DraftKings, who his price is almost an insane 7.4K. But on FanDuel, Collison's still 5.5K. So if he doesn't get traded, he's still an excellent play. But we're going to have to see how this plays out for Sacramento, because right now I could easily see them going a route of Brooklyn, going a route of the Lakers, of Luke Walton, and playing. Now, hopefully Luke Walton will change that now, getting rid of Lou Williams, hopefully trading Nick Young, and he'll start giving Russell and Randall 30-plus minutes a night. But as you guys know, before the All-Star break, he was giving everyone 24 minutes. Brooklyn's giving everyone 24 minutes. A lot of times Coach Braun for Philly gives everyone 24 minutes. So could Sacramento do that? Now remember, Sacramento has to tank for the most part now so they can finish in the top 10 so the Bulls don't get their draft pick. So nothing would surprise me if Collison's having a good game one night and all of a sudden they just bench Collison in the fourth quarter. Now Jaeger, of course, Coach Jaeger for the Kings is saying all the right things, but they need to lose games. So if people are having good games for them, it doesn't make sense for them to keep playing. It's going to be an interesting situation to see. Not that they're going to be, granted they should lose games anyway because they have zero talent now. But we'll see. And also we don't even know as of now, I'm taping this, like I said, it's about 9:15 in the morning. Sadly, they're on the West Coast, so their game is late tonight. We probably will not know who the hell they're going to start before lineup lock. It could be a mess. I wouldn't be surprised if they started Collison and Lawson together. I wouldn't be surprised if they started Collison and Buddy, or Collison and the worst player in the world, Ben McLemore. They could also give Anthony Tolliver a start at the 3 or the 4. They could also still start Kufis over Willie Cauley-Stein. Either way, I still think Cauley-Stein is the better tournament option tonight, and Kufis is the maybe a safer cash play if Kufis does get the start. But it's going to be a wait-and-see approach, and if we do not hear news before lineup lock, which we probably won't hear, we're going to have to take some gambles on them tonight on the slate because they are in a really fast-paced game against Denver with a 220 over-under, and they are dirt cheap. So even if we don't hear news, we're going to have to play them tonight. Another trade, the Hawks. I really like this trade for Atlanta. Atlanta got Ersan Ilyasova, and they gave up Tiago Splitter, who was barely playing for them anyway. I mean, Ersan, he's been averaging like 15 points a game so far. And the Hawks, offensively, I think they ranked like 26th in the NBA out of 30 teams in offensive efficiency. And if you watch the Hawks or you played Hawks guys, I mean, whenever like Millsap goes out, I mean, how many times this year have I been stuck playing like Mike frickin' Muscala and who's put up like a 6-8 FanDuel or DraftKings point night and absolutely just killed me. So this gives them some really nice, scoring punch off the bench. And also if they do have an injury, Ersan has always been a fantasy point per minute monster. So he can step in and have a big game. So I do like this game for Atlanta. For DFS, is Ersan going to be in play for us anymore? No, unless an injury comes up. But in real life, I do like this trade for Atlanta. And I also like it for Philly. Because in Philly, now looks like they're going to unleash Dario Saric. Who, he's been averaging 16 points and 7 rebounds in February, playing only about 24 minutes. So I would expect him to now to get over 30 minutes a game. So it looks like guys like Covington and guys like Saric and maybe Noel, hopefully they can trade Okafor. So maybe they're finally going to, you know, let all their young guys play. Not to mention if Simmons can come back and play for Philly after the All-Star break. So I think it was a good move for both sides there. A trade that leaves me perplexed and angry is Washington getting Bogdanovich for the Nets. And they gave up a first-round pick as well. I mean, Houston's over here getting Lou Williams for basically the same price, and you're getting freaking Bogdanovich, Washington. And yeah, I mean, I've had a bunch of people on Twitter tell me how he's like a really good, like the Wizards need scoring punch, a scoring punch off the bench. And yes, they do, of course. But is Bogdanovich the guy you really want coming off the bench? I mean, is he a small upgrade? I guess, but if you've been watching him play, one trick pony, he can shoot a little bit, but when he's off, he's horrendous. So he's streaky. So are there going to be games where he might help Washington? Sure. But are there going to be nights where he stinks and does nothing for them? Yes. And I did not like them giving up a first round pick for him. I would have hoped there'd be someone else out there that they could get for a first round pick. So I think that was a really good move for Brooklyn, obviously, because they're in a desperate need for draft picks. And hopefully Brooklyn's now going to give our boys Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson and LeVert some more minutes. If those guys could get like 30 plus minutes, they will become DFS relevant for, you know, for these last 25, 30 games. Our injury news for this slate on Thursday: Aminu is still, looks like he's still out with a left knee sprain for Portland. CJ Watson for Orlando is still questionable with a sore right Achilles. So, I mean, man, what are they going to do? He's been starting for them, which is disgusting. Are they finally going to let Elfrid Payton get some more minutes tonight? Maybe DJ Augustine for Orlando. I mean, Evan Fournier is going to see all the usage in the world. Aaron Gordon should be a really good play. And Vucevic, all three of those guys for Orlando are going to be really good plays tonight. Well, I should say two play. I think Fournier and Vucevic are going to be really good plays. Payton, a tournament play. Not sure if you want to roll him out in cash. Absolutely, I can answer that. You don't. Charlotte's still really banged up. I mean, they got Cody. I mean, not to mention the entire team's a mess. But Cody Zeller, quad soreness, so he's doubtful. And you have Miles Plumlee, who's out for like 2 weeks. So Frank the Tank, whose price is crazy high, I think it's around 6.3K, or at least it's over 6K on FanDuel. And I think he's still going to be a decent play tonight. Even Marvin Williams as well. Lou Williams, you know, was traded to Houston. I don't think I mentioned that trade. So Lou Williams was traded to Houston, and Houston gave the Lakers a first-round pick. Really good move, I think, for both sides, because Lou Will was just going to help them win games, and the Lakers need to tank as well. And Houston, they needed another shooter to space the floor with Harden and give them also some more scoring kind of prowess off the bench. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Lou Will does on that squad. I mean, he basically had like a 30% usage rate on the Lakers. Now, there's no way in hell that he can sustain that on Houston, especially when you have Eric Gordon gunning away threes in the second unit. Also, a lot of times they do play Harden and Gordon together. But I mean, you know, I'm not exactly sure what kind of lineups D'Antoni's going to run out there, but he could easily have a Harden, Gordon, Lou Will lineup in there. And then throw Ryan Anderson as well with maybe a Clint Capella. So that wouldn't surprise me. So I think I do think Lou Will is going to get around the same amount of minutes he was getting on the Lakers. So he's still going to get around 24 minutes. The problem is his usage rate is going to go down. I would guess it would be down to around 24%, maybe 23% even. So it will take a pretty major bump or a major hit. Will there be nights when he'll go off? Yes. Now, in DFS, it's all about price, right? So obviously, with the Lakers, he was around 6K, too expensive. If his price comes down to about 5K, though, there's nights where he will help us win tournaments and he will be in play. But we will have to monitor though to make sure how he does get adequate minutes and adequate shots. Other injury news. So. And I didn't even mention for the Pelicans that you know, obviously they got Boogie. So Boogie and Anthony Davis, if anyone tells you they know how that's going to work, no one knows, but it's going to be awesome and fun to watch. So we will all watch together. But I guess I should say I think Cousins without Rudy Gay had like a 40% usage rate. Just without Rudy Gay, he had like a 34% usage rate, something like that. Anthony Davis has like a 32% usage rate. Both of those are going to come down a little bit. And then you still have Drew Holiday with like a 27% usage rate. So all three of those guys, the usage is going to come down. Hopefully the DFS price comes down as well. Their salary will come down as well a little bit. They are going to take a hit in terms of their overall upside. But are there going to be nights where they're all going to be good plays still? Yes. I am curious to see how Holiday does. Can his assists maybe go up? It's kind of tough for me to envision that because Cousins is not a guy who gets a lot of his buckets on assists. But we'll see. So other injury news, Joakim Noah is still out with a hamstring. So Hernan Gomez, O'Quinn, both those guys, good plays. Brennan Jennings, still dealing with that Achilles. The Knicks are looking to basically dump Derrick Rose for nothing. So we'll wait and see if that trade goes down. If it doesn't, I guess Rose would be a decent play on this slate. Chris Paul, he's questionable. And if you've looked at the Vegas line for the Clippers game tonight, it seems to be moving in a direction where he might play. So keep an eye on that. Now, will we find out that before lineup lock? It looks like the Clippers are playing Golden State. So, no, we'll probably not know that before lineup lock. So we might have to take some risk there in tournaments if you want to do that. It's an interesting move that you can do. Because if we don't know before lineup lock, he's going to be, 2% owned? Also, Fareed looks like he's still going to be out for Denver. Gallinari's questionable for Denver. He was probable. Now he's questionable, so that's not a good sign. Terrell Arthur is still questionable. So for Denver, Wilson Chandler, if Gallo's out and Wilson Chandler isn't traded, Chandler would be a decent play. Jokic is in a phenomenal spot tonight for Denver, obviously, in almost every night. And Jameer Nelson, because Moutier is questionable with a back, but also Denver made it known that Jameer Nelson is going to be starting for them going forward. And Denver is basically going all out to get the 8 spot in the West. It's going to come down to Denver versus New Orleans for that 8 spot. So Jameer Nelson has been playing fantastic, and it makes sense. If you're trying to win games, why would you start Moutier, who's been absolutely dreadful? If you want to tank, start Moutier. But if you actually want to win games, play someone who's been actually really good, especially the last couple of weeks, and who actually has a really good feel for Jokic, and a guy who's not a shoot-first point guard. I mean, Denver has scorers all over the court with guys like Barton, guys like Jokic, even Hernan Gomez you could put in there, Wilson Chandler, Gallo, if he doesn't get traded, and if he's healthy. So Jameer Nelson is just a real steady point guard who can do a lot of different things. He can knock down an open three, but he also can distribute the ball really well and gets a lot of nice open looks for the guys I mentioned, for a lot of their scorers. All right, so let's take a quick trip to Vegas. So we have 6 games, and there's 6 really good games. I mean, man, the over-unders are fantastic. You have the Clippers at Golden State. Obviously, it's a Golden State game, so Golden State's favorite. I mean, they're only favored by 11.5. They were 13, 14-point favorites, depending on which site you looked at. It's come down a little bit. The over-under is 230.5, which is phenomenal. For me, still, the Warriors are going to be tournaments only. But some of the Clippers, maybe like a Blake Griffin, I think would probably be fine for all formats. Houston, New Orleans, this game is pretty phenomenal because you have – not only do you get – a game with a 227 over-under, we're going to see immediately, right out of the gate, Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. So cannot wait to watch that game. You have the Knicks at Cleveland. The Cavs are favored by 10, a 223 over-under, so that's very delicious. Then you got Denver-Sacramento, another very, very glorious game, a 220 over-under. Denver's favored by 6 points, which is interesting. I would have thought Denver could have even be favored by more. Now, right out of the gate, we get Cousins and AD with New Orleans, and we also get the Kings and their debacle situation. And right off the bat, we're going to get the Collison, Lawson, Buddy, BMAC, Aflalo, Tolliver, Kufis, Cauley-Stein, Tyreek. All those guys, we're going to see what the hell Coach Jaeger and the Kings do tonight against Denver. And then you have a couple games that are not as appealing. Charlotte-Detroit, if there was one game I'd look probably to fade the most, it would be the Charlotte-Detroit game with a 207 over-under, but still not a horrible game. And then you have Portland-Orlando, which this game doesn't intrigue me. It's a 213 over-under for Orlando. That's a really high over-under. And Portland's only favored by 2.5 points. As I mentioned, Orlando, I think they really only have a couple options right now who can score for them. So it's Evan Fournier, who's a very cheap price across the industry, especially on FanDuel. Aaron Gordon, now with Ibaka gone, I think his usage and minutes should rise. And Vucevic should be a really good play because you can attack Portland bigs. So, Orlando, I like some guys, and Portland, Judy Dench, Lillard, McCollum, Nurkic, obviously, is still their starting center now, or hopefully he's going to start for them. So, a lot of guys in that game we can attack as well. And on a six-game slate, I don't think you have to, you know, narrow the player pool where you have to just knock off a game that has a somewhat low over-under. So I think there's players to use in every game here. All right, pace. Teams playing up in pace. The Clippers playing way up in pace against Golden State. The Pelicans playing way up in pace against Houston. You got Sacramento playing up in pace against Denver. And those are really the three main teams I'm looking to target based on pace tonight. And the Sacramento Denver that's playing Denver in the high altitude. Another reason why all those cheap Sacramento guys are at least interesting. And you could take a couple different approaches. Quite honestly, I mean, everyone tonight is going to be playing all these Sacramento bumps, you know, and mostly because every freaking site and is going to be basically have all the Sacramento guys really high on the projections. If you want to be contrarian tonight, one approach that you can do is just fade the Sacramento bums and hope that Coach Jaeger does take a somewhat weird Brooklyn approach and plays everyone equal minutes, which is somewhat possible. I mean, if Collison's still there, I think I find it hard to believe he's not going to get 35 plus minutes. But otherwise, could I easily see them splitting minutes with McLemore and Buddy Hield and Lawson and Tyreek and Aflalo and Tolliver? Sure. And even Kufis and Cauley-Stein, could I see each of them getting around 24, 26 minutes? Yeah, I could. So I really do think a contrarian approach tonight would just be fade Sacramento. It could come back to backfire on you as well. But remember, in tournaments, you take chances like that. If you truly want to win a tournament, you do moves like that. All right, the top end of the slate, top plays at each position. And of course, I do not have any of these sites up yet. So let me quick open up FanDuel. All right. It is open. Here we go. Of course, it's taking me forever. My apologies. My computer's super slow right now. All right, so in terms of the overall slate and stars, Harden, LeBron, Cousins, Jokic, Anthony Davis, Durant, those are the guys who are over 10K. You got Blake, Curry, Irving, CP3 if he plays. I'm not actually, Chris Paul is a little under 9K. So some stars in play, no Westbrook. But man, this is a really fun slate, I think. Let's hope the trade deadline doesn't throw everything I say here into a total chaos. All right, point guard. So Curry is 9.1K, tournaments only. I'm not going to go on a Curry rant right now. You want to use him? Sure, go ahead. But Kyrie is at 9K, basically saying the same price as Steph. For cash games, to me, it's an absolute no-brainer. I would go Kyrie Irving over Curry. Even though the Clippers, Golden State, yes, it is a 230 over-under. Could Curry outperform Kyrie? Of course. But Kyrie's usage rate without Kevin Love is through the roof. I mean, he gets like an 8% usage bump. So I think 9K, fair price. He's basically been giving you 40 consistently the last few games without Kevin Love. against the Knicks. Very hard to see how that doesn't happen tonight. Even if they do blow out the Knicks, which they might, he still should hit around 40 Fanduel points, where I think Curry should be around there too, but just Curry's more volatile. And especially if Chris Paul doesn't play, Golden State could blow the Clippers out in the first 5 minutes. So Irving, a much safer play to use for cash games. Although Irving's safe for all formats. You know, I've been debating this. I know we've been calling him Dame Judy Dench Lillard. I'm ready just to take off the Dame. I don't think he can be a Dame anymore. It was like, you know, earlier in the year, I said we can't say Lord Covington. I said it's Peasant Covington because he's just been too bad and he's been a roller coaster. He was a magic mountain. And then Covington got better and I started calling him again Lord Covington. But Judy Dench, he's been a mess this entire year. And it's not surprising that Portland's actually been looking at trying to trade him or at least fielding offers. And if that's true, I would totally see that. And I'm on board with that. The judge approves. Because can he be the best player on like a title contender? I don't know. Can he even be your second best player? I mean, he just for like weeks at a time, he just appears so disinterested in games. Yes, I know he's super talented. I know he's a really good in real life. But something this year has been a little amiss watching him play. Not to mention the whole Portland team. And I don't think he's a good defender either. So if he's not going to be great offensively, like what good is Lillard doing on your team? So, you know, if you look, just look at his game logs. I mean, I've been watching him play. He goes large, and especially Portland has become more of a CJ McCollum team. McCollum's taken on more of an offensive load. And especially late in games where Lillard would just stand in a corner. And that, especially last year, that was not the case. I mean, there's nothing in the game logs, nothing watching him play that screams out to me he's going to, you know, give me a 50-60 Fanduel point, which would make him an elite tournament option. Does he still have the upside somewhere? Yeah. Now, has he been banged up? I don't know. Will the All-Star break do him good? I don't know. Is he going to – maybe he's going to feel snubbed. He didn't make the All-Star team because I think he made it last year. So maybe he's going to actually be motivated now the second half of the season. Maybe the trade talks are going to get him motivated. I don't know. Will I play a little bit of him tonight? Sure. But – am I excited to roster that Judy Dench MF-er? No, I am not. Also, this is one of the slowest paced games of the night. So I think he's relatively safe. He will not kill your lineup for cash games. Is the upside there, though, for tournaments at this point? It hasn't, at least it hasn't been in the last month or two. Drew Holiday. So Drew Holiday, to me, is probably going to be a fade. He's 8.1K. He gets Houston. I think Patrick Beverley is going to be on Houston, although there's been rumors about him getting traded too. Holiday has been really good, but with Cousins there, he's going to take a hit. So his price came up because he was so good the last few weeks or so. It's just tough to see what his upside is now with Cousins being there as well. So is he still probably okay for cash games? Probably, but I'm just going to fade tonight. I want to see, how he does. You know, you could take the approach of playing him in a tournament because a lot of people are probably going to not want to play him tonight. And look, can he get hot? Sure. Could he get 5, 10, 15 assists? Sure. Could he hit some threes? It's going to be a really fast-paced game against Houston. So could it happen? Could he give you 50 Fanduel points? Hard to see. But if you're just strictly playing the ownership game for tournaments, it makes a little bit of sense. But point guard's loaded, so you do not have to do it at all. Kemba Walker. Kemba has notoriously been much better at home than on the road. Last couple games, though, he's been good before the All-Star break, around 44 Fanduel points. He has been a little banged up this year, so I think the All-Star break probably did hit him some good. Attacking Detroit point guards has been somewhat of a risky move. So a lot of times Detroit will just put KCP on the opposing point guard. So I could see KCP guarding Kemba Walker. Then again, then who guards Batum? So I'm not sure who's going to be guarding Kemba. Also, is Reggie Jackson going to be traded? If Reggie's traded, then Kemba could potentially get Ish Smith defense as well. So I like Kemba tonight. I don't like him for cash games, but I think for tournaments, I think he's an okay play. Derrick Rose, if he's not traded at 6.2K, I don't love it. It's okay. Jameer Nelson, I love this play. Very safe for cash games. Now that we know for sure he's going to be starting over Moutier, and he's locked into 30 plus minutes a night. Like I said, Denver's going all out to try to get this eight spot. To me, he's almost a lock and load for cash games. And he has tournament upside. He's been giving it over 35 FanDuel points pretty consistently the past few weeks. And the fact that Denver plays at such a fast pace, it just makes him a glorious, beautiful play right now. I don't know what his price is on DraftKings. Let me quick check that for you guys. So on DraftKings, it's 6.5K. So there, that's close. Do I love the play on DraftKings? No, I don't love it. But on FanDuel, 5.6K, yes, I do love it. Elfrid Payton, they're really banged up. So he's a guy that can occasionally pop off a 50 FanDuel point night. Would I trust it in cash? Hell no. Would I play him in a tournament on a six-game slate against – not? Oh, man, I almost already said Dame Judy Dench. Against just Judy? Should we just call Lillard Judy from now on? Maybe that's what – I'm just calling him Judy. That's it. Hopefully people – I mean, I guess each show off probably have to remind you guys, because some of you guys – if there's new listeners, you might be like, who the hell is this guy talking about? Judy. But from now on, Dame Lillard is now just Judy to me. That's his new name. Hashtag Judy. So where was I? Yeah, so Elfrid Payton is going to get Judy defense, and he's one of the worst defenders in the world, and he's probably going to fall asleep on the court. So Payton to me as a tournament play, it makes a little bit of sense. Austin Rivers, only if Chris Paul is out and if only that game stays close, so tournaments only. Darren Collison. On DraftKings, I probably don't want to play a ton of Collison at 7.4K. To me, that's just a little too expensive. I guess you can do it if you want that super fast-paced game against Denver. But on FanDuel, 5.5K, that's an elite price. So in cash games, if as long as he's not traded. So if you want to use Collison and Jameer as your two point guards on FanDuel and cash games, absolutely makes sense. Then you can get Harden. You can get Jokic. You can get Blake Griffin. So, it makes sense to do that. Now, in tournaments, do you want to go that route? You could. I mean, I think – you may be limiting yourself a little bit in terms of upside, but cash games, both those guys are really safe. Reggie Jackson, let's wait on the trade news to see what happens with him. But even if he's not traded, it's hard to really envision him going off. He's been a little bit better the last couple games for the All-Star break. He finally has been close to the 30-minute mark. If he gets 30 minutes, he could come through. So if I have 10 lineups, I will use him in one in tournaments, not cash games. And like my sneaky, and then you got two sneaky ninja guys. If Reggie is traded, Ish Smith at 4.2K, he's almost a must play. He's dirt cheap and he's going to get like 35 plus minutes because Detroit would have like no backup point guard tonight. So I would love him if Reggie gets dealt. And you have Ty Lawson. He's a really intriguing play. I think even if Collison does not get traded, I could see them starting Ty Lawson. They've a lot of times this year they have started Collison and Lawson together. They've also, even if he doesn't start, I think he's going to get 24 minutes. And if he gets that 24 minutes, he should be able to give you value at that price. So I think he's in play tonight too. All right, shooting guard, James Harden. To me, he's going to be a lock and load in my cash games tonight. I'm just not going to pass up. I love this Houston New Orleans game. I will game stack this a little bit. Also, it's going to be probably the most fun game to watch because we all want to see how Boogie and AD play together on the court. And that obviously should make the game more competitive because normally we'd have to worry about a possibility of a blowout. And now I don't see a blowout happening. I think the Pelicans are going to be super pumped up and the crowd's going to be super pumped up and motivated, animated. Should be a really good game. So Harden, to me, he's a lock and load in cash games. In tournaments, can you fade him? Absolutely, you can fade him. He's expensive. It makes sense. He's going to be high owned on this slate. So from an ownership perspective, I think in tournaments, if you want to fade, go ahead. And I will mention this. Normally, shooting guard, I'm not a fan of. On this slate, because of all the trades that have already happened, because of the trades that could happen, you have a lot of value. You have value all over the plate on this slate. So it's if you want to fade Harden, you can do it. I mean, you can fade Harden in tournaments and load up in point guards, play a Curry and an Irving. So CJ McCollum, not a guy I really want to use tonight. If one trick pony, if you want to go ahead, I won't have a ton of him. Nicholas Batum, 7.2K. Fine. You want to do it in cash games, it's okay. Don't love that play either. That's a one game tonight, Charlotte-Detroit, which there's so – I mean, when you have four games with over-unders like we do tonight with basically a 220 over-under or higher, to me, I will focus a lot of my energy on that one. And I also like the Portland-Orlando game, like as I've already said. So the Charlotte-Detroit game, I don't need to force that game into my lineups. Klay Thompson – so his price has come up to 7.2K, and that disgusts me. It sickens me almost as much as a guy who knows NASCAR giving you NBA advice. Klay had a 50 fandom point night, and they jacked his price up, like over $1,000. So no thank you. Tournaments, of course, in tournaments, yes. Cash games, no. Will Barton, 6.4K. A little intriguing, but I don't love it. It depends for me who for Denver is going to be playing, who's still out. If Gallo is still out, then I think Barton makes a little bit of sense. If Gallo is playing, that's going to hurt Barton a little bit. So cash, tournaments only for me. I'm not going to use him in cash, but he does. He's really good. He's supremely gifted offensively. So if you want to roll him out in tournaments, yeah, it makes sense. Evan Fournier, he's 5.4K, and that's just – I was hoping his price would rise to about 6K. Especially once they traded Ibaka. The problem is the last game out was against San Antonio because FanDuel is moronic. Didn't play super well against San Antonio, only had about 21 FanDuel points, which at that price isn't even that bad. But it kept his price low, and they didn't up it on FanDuel. I want to see what it is on DraftKings. So DraftKings, it's 6,000. So even on DraftKings, it's still a fair price. I mean – Orlando needs someone to shoot the ball, someone to score. Who's going to score? Now that Ibaka's gone, it can only be Fournier, I guess a little bit of Aaron Gordon, but Aaron Gordon has trouble creating his own shot. At least Fournier can, and Vucevic. So I think Fournier is safe for all formats, and he has a really good upside, and the price is really good. I mean, he's $2,000 cheaper than Batum, and he gets CJ McCollum defense. So this it's a win in every possible scenario tonight. It's just really hard for me to envision him not getting 25 to 30 fandom points. Eric Gordon, tournaments only. Could he hit 7 threes tonight? Sure. Could he shoot 2 for 15 from threes? Yeah. But could I envision him somehow in like the winning GPP lineup? Possibly. I it's hard to see, but if I have 10 lineups, I'd probably use him in like one. Remember that there was a point when he was super consistent. He was giving you 30, 35 fandom points like every night. Now that hasn't been lately, but it could happen again. And I do think Lou Williams is going to hurt his usage a little bit. How much? I'm not entirely sure yet. Gary Harris, 5.2K. Very fair price. He's been an interesting guy to watch because there's some games where he literally stands in a corner for 20 minutes out of his 35 on the court and does nothing. He doesn't get the ball. Denver has, I've already mentioned they have scores all over the court. They got Will Barton, Chandler, Gallinari, Jokic. So they don't need Gary Harris to score. Jamal Murray, when he comes in the game, he guns the ball immediately. So Harris, it can be a little frustrating to roster him some nights because some nights he just doesn't take a ton of shots. But with that said, he does give you at least 30 minutes a night, and that's a very fair price. So to me, he's safe for all formats. It's somewhat hard to envision him without hitting 6 times his salary and really smashing value. But to me, on this slate, you can save 1.2K from Will Barton, and he's fine. I mean, if you want to roll out a Fournier and Gary Harris lineup, you can do that. I mean, it's a little risky fading Harden in cash games, but to me, yeah, in like a in tournaments, could you do that? I guess in tournaments, I don't know if I would do that with Gary Harris because the upside does scare me a little bit. But cash games, sure. KCP, man. KCP is 4.9K. If Reggie Jackson gets dealt, KCP's usage goes way up. So then he would become a really nice, intriguing play for me. As is, I'm not sure what the hell to do with him here. I mean, wow. That's a really fair price. Stan Van Gundy still loves him, so he gives him 30-plus minutes. The problem is I like Fournier a little bit better because I think Fournier's usage is going to be higher. Gary Harris I like a tad bit better as well for cash games. Now for tournaments, KCP can give you – he can pop off a 40-50 fandom point night. So for tournaments, I would go KCP well over Gary Harris. And I think he's a good tournament play either way. The question is, could you want to use him in cash? I'm torn, but the more I think about it, you know what? Where's my gavel? My ruling is safe for all formats. That's too cheap. It's too freaking cheap. A week to rest during the All-Star break. Like, I do not love this game, but look, I will pay 4.9K for KCP. At one point, I was paying 6K for KCP, and he was making me a ton of money earlier in the year. Other than that, if you want to roll out JJ Redick, whatever, you can. Tyreek's somewhat interesting. I don't envision him getting more than 24 minutes, but even at 24 minutes, he's going to get all the usage in the world at Sacramento now. So you want to use him in tournaments? Go ahead. Ben McLemore down here. Whatever. Shumpert, whatever. A guy that does intrigue me, my sneaky ninja, I'm not sure how sneaky he's going to be because I'm sure a lot of other people are going to be on him as well, but that's Etuan Moore. So the Pelicans, they traded Buddy and Galloway. So they're really short-handed on guards. I mean, they have Holiday and Tim Frazier and Moore, and that's about it. So Moore is going to get a ton of minutes, a ton of shots, and when you have Cousins and Anthony Davis down there, he should get wide open looks. And there's been games this year where I played him. Like, he's a streaky shooter, and he's a good shooter, quite honestly. So if he's getting you 24 to 30 minutes, which I think he will get tonight at least, and he's going to get a lot of open looks, and 3.6K, which is basically the minimum, man, to me, safe for all formats. So that's what I mean. Like, normally shooting guard stinks, but on this slate, it's really good. I mean, you got some really good value plays. The problem is in cash, I still think it's a little foolish to fade Harden. So you're probably going to be only able to use one. But, in tournaments, feel free to fade Harden and play some of these value guys and hope they pop, give you 8-9 times their salary. All right, small forward. LeBron, 11.2K. Look, there's so much value on this slate. To me, it just makes sense to get him in your cash games. Remember, no, Kevin Love is out. The usage is just too high without Kevin Love. Get him in there. And even if they blow the Knicks out, he's going to give you 45, 50, 55 fandom points and probably shouldn't kill your lineups. Now, is he expensive? Yes. Do you have to play him in tournaments? No. Kevin Durant, 10.3K. If you want to pivot off of LeBron and go Durant in tournaments, sure. Carmelo, 8.6K. I think he's going to not be. I think he's going to stay with the Knicks, not be traded. But that's expensive to pay for Carmelo. I mean, at 8K, that was a lot. So we need him at that salary to basically give us close to 50 fandom points. When honestly, I guess 45 would be okay. Can he give us that? Sure. But do I love that play at that price? No, I don't. The Denver guys. I mean, we got to see who's playing between Gallinari and Chandler. I think Chandler's going to play, but if Gallo doesn't play, Chandler intrigues me a little bit at 6.6K. It's still expensive though, so I don't love it. And if Gallo plays, I don't really want to use Gallo at 6.9K. And also, if Gallo plays, I guess it hurts guys like Will Barton. And obviously, a guy like Hernan Gomez, you can't touch, and things like that. And also, everyone's usage is going to go down. If Gallo plays, everyone's usage will take a little bit of a hit, except Jokic, in my opinion. Marcus Morris, it's okay. It's not sexy to play him, but he's been pretty good. He's been the one Detroit guy that I've been rolling with the last couple weeks, and he hasn't killed my lineup almost ever in the last couple weeks. I mean, sure, he's given me like in the low 20s, but even if he does that at that price in the cash game, that's not going to kill you. So I don't mind it. MKG, the man without a usage rate, I don't think you need to do it tonight. If you want to, I mean, Charlotte's really banged up with Zeller and Plumlee out. So, sure. Ariza, tournaments only. I like teaming Ariza up with Harden and hope Ariza hits 6-7 threes. Lately, has not been working out for me. Then you're under 5K, and you have Mo Harkless, 4.6K. I think he's going to get a lot of minutes tonight because Aminu's still out. Nothing sexy about him, but very safe. He's going to stumble, bumble, and fumble his way around 20 Fando points, which probably won't kill your lineup. So he's a nice cash game play. Aaron Gordon's 4.5K. So the first game without Ibaka, I think it was against the Spurs, so I'm not going to count that game. I think he's going to get 30-plus minutes now. I think the usage is going to go up 4 or 5 percentage points, and we've seen it. He does have 40 fandom point upside. Now, is it the best matchup in the world against Portland? It's pretty good. It's a pretty good one. It's not the best in the world, but Portland struggles to defend almost every position. Now, it's Harkless an okay defender, I guess. But Aaron Gordon, I think, is in a really good spot. And to me, I have no issues using him all formats. Other than that, I mean, Jeff Green, he's the almost the bare minimum at 3.6K. He has been getting a lot of minutes for Orlando, so I don't mind that, even though I hate his game in real life. And then Terrence Ross. So Terrence Ross, that was who they Orlando traded for Ibaka. It's going to be his first game playing with Orlando tonight. I don't expect him to get monster minutes, but I do think he'll get 24 minutes. And if he gets 24 minutes at the minimum, he's going to take shots. That's what he does. He shoots, and when he gets hot, he can give you a 30, 35, 40 fandom points. And if he's hot, Vogel will probably keep him in. So he's a really nice tournament play. All right, power forward, Jokic, 10.9K. Love the play. He's expensive, but I feel like the show is taking way too long because of all the value. There's just so much freaking value on this slate. It's easy to get in any star you want. So Jokic, safe for all formats. He should absolutely destroy Sacramento. I mean, who's going to guard him? It's going to be Kufis or Cauley Stein, and he should be able to feast on them. I mean, he has, I think, a floor of around 45 fandom points tonight and a ceiling of like 60, 65. So, yeah, I want him in as many lineups as possible. Anthony Davis, 10.6K. I think for turn, obviously cash games, I don't use him anyway because he still is a tin man and he gets hurt too easily. Although maybe now I'll toughen up with Cousins. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. I kind of want to roster him just because I want to watch that game, and it's more fun to watch, obviously, when you have exposure to that game. I'll play him a little bit in tournaments. It's going to be really fun to see. I don't know. I mean, with Cousins, first of all, you can't double team Anthony Davis now, right? With Cousins there. So, I mean, Houston would struggle to defend Anthony Davis anyway, because normally who are they going to put on Anthony Davis? Clint Capella, Harrell, Ryan frickin' Anderson? I mean, now Clint Capella or Harrell or Nene, whichever one, those guys are probably going to have to guard Cousins. So now we probably are talking about a guy like Ryan Anderson guarding Anthony Davis. So he should be able to destroy that guy. And I also think now with Cousins there, while the usage on the offensive end may dip, Anthony Davis defensively, he's going to be able to have more energy. So he's going to be able to get some more blocks, hopefully, maybe some more boards. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. So he still has upside for tournaments. I'm not going to use him in cash, but tournaments, sure. Blake Griffin, 9.7K. Blake, kind of under the radar, has been phenomenal the last few weeks without Chris Paul. If CP3 comes back, his usage takes a big hit, so I don't love it as much. But then the Clippers can probably keep this game a little bit closer tonight. So I think Blake is an intriguing play. He'll probably be overlooked and underowned. Quite honestly, I think he's fine for any format. I really do. And I'm going to find a way to have some exposure because I see him being like under 10% owned, at least as of right now. And if that happens, man, could he be in the winning GPP lineup? Yeah, he could be. Draymond Green, tournaments only. Porzingis. Man, he's still 6.6K, which is it appears cheap on the surface. But then if you've been watching the Knicks play, he's looked a mess. He hasn't looked right. He doesn't get the ball. I think if they could trade Rose, I think it'd be like the best thing in the world for him. Honestly, I do think trading Melo would help him out a lot as well because they just don't pass him the ball enough. He just doesn't get enough shots. He stands around way too much. He's not involved in the offense. There's nothing more frustrating than watching him sit 30 feet away from the hoop. It's just painful. Not as painful as watching someone who's an expert in NASCAR giving you NBA DFS advice, but pretty freaking close to that. With that said, upside's still there. So am I going to use him in tournaments? Yeah, I will. Frank Kaminsky. Look, I know it sounds silly. You might think I'm on drugs, but I'm not. First of all, Charlotte's playing Detroit, so I don't love this game, as I've already said, but I do love attacking Drummond. Probably one of my favorite things to do in life because he's probably sleeping now. He'll be sleeping during the day. He'll be sleeping during the game. That's why they're trying to trade him. Like Stan Van Gundy's realized, you can't build your team around a sleepy seven-footer. Who basically doesn't show up half the time. Kaminsky has been phenomenal the last week or two before the All-Star break. And in the rookie, if you watch the rookie sophomore game, it continued there. He hit like what, 8-9 threes? So yes, the price is expensive now, but they have no Zeller, no Plumlee. He's going to get 35 plus minutes against Drummond. He can pull Drummond away from the hoop. He's going to get open threes. He's not fast. But he'll be able to get by Drummond and also get some easy layups as well. So I think he's safe for all formats. And I know it sounds weird to say that, but even at 6K, I think he has upside as well. So I'm fine paying that price for him. Tobias Harris, 5.4K, whatever. I mean, I do think a nice contrarian pivot off of Kaminsky. You play a guy like Harris. If Harris could somehow outscore Kaminsky, which look, it's still Frank frickin' Kaminsky, right? So that could that happen? Sure. I mean, I would put the odds of that happening maybe 25%, 30% maybe, as long as Reggie Jackson does not get traded. If Reggie gets traded, Tobias Harris, his usage rate will go up. But if you pivot off of Kaminsky and play Tobias outscores Kaminsky, that's how you win a tournament. Channing Fry, I know all you guys, you love the French Fry out there. He's been so high owned. I mean, I faded him both games so far without Kevin Love. The first game, it cost me money because he put up 39. The second game, you guys all played him. I did not. He put up 16. So we're even. We're you guys won some money. I won some money on Fry. I'm just not a fan of his game. He stands by a 3-point line. So if LeBron's feeding him, and he's making a shot. Can he put a big number? Sure. With that said, if Ty Lue is going to continue to give this goober 30 plus minutes a night, he'll be in play. To me, though, I don't love it. I don't love it. Also, is he going to be guarding Porzingis? That to me is not a great matchup either. Now I'm not sure who the hell the Cavs can put on Porzingis anyway, but. So if I had 10 lineups, me personally, I'd put Fry in like one or two. But I know you guys love the French Fry. You love his 3-point shooting. So if you guys want to use him, go ahead. Marvin Williams, 5.1K. I mean, with Zeller and Plumlee out, he's going to get minutes. He has not been the same player this year that he was last year. When he last year he had a stretch where he was making everyone tons of money. But the last few weeks, he's kind of been a Magic Mountain roller coaster. But there's been nights where he's been okay. The price is fair. I think the minutes will be there. I do think he's safe for cash games. The question you got to ask, does he have enough upside for tournaments? I'm not sure. Ryan Anderson's 4.8K. Ryan Anderson, for whatever bizarre reason, he's way better on the road than he is at home. Now he also has a revenge game. He's dirt cheap, safer. I wouldn't use in cash games, but obviously a really good tournament play. I do see him having a very hard time here defensively. I mean, guarding Anthony Davis, it's going to be tough for him, but tournament, sure. John Luehr, safe for cash games if you want. Then you got Juancho Hernangómez, Pancho, whatever. I forget how to pronounce his first name. Supremely talented guy for Denver, but we all saw him. You know, he gave us, 50 DraftKings points 2 games ago, and then the next one he gave us like 10. So it depends on who's playing tonight. If Gallo is out, would I play Hernangómez? Maybe in like one or two lineups. But if Wilson Chandler's playing, it probably does kill all of Hernangómez's value. Then you have Willie Cauley-Stein, man. He's at 3.8K. To me, safe for all formats. Even if he doesn't start, it's hard to envision going up against Denver in that fast-paced game, which is suited for him. He's athletic. He can run up and down the court really, he's supremely gifted athletically. A lot of raw talent, and when I've seen him play this year, he does have a few offensive moves as well, like in the low post. So I think his basketball IQ can be a question at times, and I do think maybe that's why Jaeger plays Kufis over Cauley-Stein at various points during games. But that's too cheap. They got traded Cousins. They have to tank. Remember. Whenever it comes down to if you're deciding who to play for Sacramento, just remember this. They have to lose games. So it makes sense for them to play young guys like Cauley-Stein. So for me, right now I'm going to have him in like 90% of my lineups tonight. Anthony Tolliver's down there as well. Another guy, someone intriguing for Sacramento. All right, center, you got Cousins, 11K. I don't want to do it in cash games. Not sure what to see. The usage rate, like I said, I think it was close to over 40%. Not close. It was. It was over 40% without Rudy Gay for Sacramento. So what's it going to be with New Orleans? I would imagine it's going to be around 30%. And that's a big dip from 40 to 30. So we need a week or two for that price to adjust. Does he still have upside at that price? I think he does tonight only because it's Houston. Again, he's in an elite spot. I mean, could I envision both him and Anthony Davis giving you like 50, 55 FanDuel points? Yeah, I could. Would it be fun to play both of them in the same lineup? Yeah, it would be. Now, will the winning GPP lineup have Cousins and Anthony Davis? It's hard to envision. It truly is. Because remember, if you want to take down a GPP, you need guys like less than 10% owned. And you need guys really going to hit six times their salary, not only five. So Cousins is he's still really expensive. Although I do like the matchup. Drummond 8.3K. If he's still with Detroit, Kaminsky has a good matchup versus him, and vice versa. He should be able to destroy Kaminsky and grab every rebound if he can stay awake. DeAndre Jordan. I mean, a lot of times versus Golden State, Doc Rivers is an absolute buffoon and a moron, and he goes small, and he doesn't play DeAndre Jordan big minutes, and it always drives me nuts. The 2 games against Golden State this year, I think they got blown up both times. One time they got blitzed, but he's only played 25 and 23 minutes. If Chris Paul's back, I like Jordan a lot better in that game. Vucevic, I've made a living attacking Portland bigs. So Vucevic is in a phenomenal spot tonight without Ibaka. Also, his usage goes way up. So Vucevic, to me, is safe for all formats. I love that play tonight. Mason Plumlee for Denver. He did look good in his first game with them, played 34 minutes, 27 Fando points. But will I use him tonight? Nope, I will not. Hernan Gomez, he's starting for the Knicks because Noah's out. To me, this is my sneaky ninja center of the night. I think he's going to go under-owned. I think a lot of people are not going to use him. I think a lot of people are still going to look to O'Quinn because he's a lot cheaper. Hernan Gomez does have massive upside. And I want a guy to take down a tournament who's going to be less than 10% owned. So to me, I will have my eye on Hernan Gomez, and I will play him in tournaments. And to me, quite honestly, he's safe in cash games too. Clint Capella, 5K. I'm intrigued a little bit here. I think Cousins outweighs him by like 400 pounds, so he's going to get bullied. Could he get in foul trouble? But also, could maybe Houston plays Nene tonight because they're going to need a big body to defend Cousins and Anthony Davis and grab some rebounds. If Capella starts, though, at 5K, you know, tournament, sure. Nene, a sneaky ninja play tonight. If he starts, he can get 24 minutes and give you 25, 30 Fando points. O'Quinn, tournaments only. And then you got Nurkic. I don't know why Fando didn't up his price. I mean, this is annoying. I want to see real quick what Nurkic's price is on DraftKings. Also on DraftKings, he's cheap too still. He's only 4.3K on DraftKings. So now, he only played 21 minutes in his last game for Portland against Utah, but he had 27 Fando points, and he was tremendous. I'm not sure if we'll know before lineup. Oh, yeah, this is a 7 p.m. Eastern game, so we will know for Portland who's going to start. If he's starting, and remember, as much as I love Vucevic tonight, Vucevic is a horrible defender. So Nurkic is in a really good spot as well. I mean, there's just so many great value plays at almost every position tonight. So could you Nurkic to me safe for any format you want to use? I mean, do you really want to trust him in cash games? Not really. But then again, you think at that price, if he's starting, what's the worst he can do? Now, we said that when he was on Denver and he would give you like 8 Fando points. And Terry Stotts is known for, you know, playing big man roulette. So there is some risk with him. I don't think you have to do it in cash games, but for tournaments, it's a really interesting play. All right, that's it. That's the slate. So I'm going to try to post this as quickly as I can and get this up there. And yeah, good luck tonight. And it's going to be fun. This is going to be a really fun, interesting slate. Just remember, the trade deadline is 3 p.m. Eastern, which is about 5-6 hours away. And that could change everything I just said here. So, yeah, I mean, let's see. We will all see together. Other than that, tomorrow, don't worry, the judge will be back at his normal time, probably at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And I will hopefully be able to run down all of the trades and all what the DFS impact is for those trades. But for now, I got to get to my real job because I'm going to get yelled at. All-Star break is over. DFS NBA is back. I missed you guys, I got to say. Any questions, feel free to tweet at me, at Daniel A. Green 1. Otherwise, for me and the bailiff who's been sleeping this whole show, court is adjourned.